Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome back to Think Big, Bodybuilding Media and Advices Radio. I'm Scott McNally. Our programming is brought to you by TrueNutrition.com. You could use our code ADVICES for some additional savings on high quality supplements from a company that you can trust. Guys, if you are watching this on YouTube, do me a favor, hit the subscribe button and hit the notification bell so you can stay up to date with everything that we are doing. We've got several programs coming out each week. Today, we've got with us John Hansen. John has taken natural competition about as far as you can. So we're just going to have a short discussion today to discuss the differences competing naturally and the things that he learned he had to do specifically, you know, competing as a natural competitor, taking it all the way up to the natural Olympia. What was your best year, would you say, first of all, to start us out?
Best year? I would say anywhere from 92 to 98. I won the Universe in 92 and 96.
Okay.
And then I won the Olympia in 98. 98 was the first year they had the Olympia. So all three of those years were really good years for me.
Right on, right on. And, you know, I have to refresh my memory. I'll have to go back and read the book. I've got your Diary of a Natural Bodybuilder book here, which
yeah.
I thoroughly enjoyed this, man. So, guys, it just like, and I don't even mean this as a plug, but I seriously, like, as a bodybuilding nerd, I had so much fun reading this because John goes through and he breaks down like what he did for each show year by year and then what he learned. It really, you know what, man, the thing that's what I love about it is that you tried things out, you experimented, and then you step back and you learned from them. So now at this point, man, you know, you've got so much experience. So I'm really excited to dig into this topic. Before we do though, too, I wanted to mention, we could talk about this a little bit more at the end. You're doing a seminar down there in Florida. When is that going to be again?
March 21st and 22nd. So it'll be a two-day seminar, Saturday and Sunday.
Cool.
So it'll be a few weeks after the Arnold Classic. It'll be right out here in Tampa, Florida, at the Powerhouse Gym Athletic Club where I train out in Tampa.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That'll be perfect. We'll talk a little bit more about that at the end. I'm so distracted because Mike Quinn is freaking still watching this with us right now. And he had a question for you out the gate. So I think that this is a great place to start. He said, it's much harder to compete as a natural. And he said, and holy shit, John got shredded to the bone. I hated people that said John did steroids. John, would you say it's harder to compete as a natural competitor than it is on gear?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, obviously steroids makes everything easier.
Yeah.
The main thing is, Scott, when you're dieting, you know, it's harder to hold on to the muscle, obviously being natural, than it is using the drugs, because the drugs can help you hold on to the muscle. They keep your strength up and they also help you recuperate better. So everything is easier. So you have to do everything right if you're doing it natural. And that's what I learned with that book, Diary of a Natural Bodybuilder. I didn't have a contest prep coach.
Yeah.
And so it was kind of experimentation every time, you know, and I wrote everything down as far as my diet and my training. I was very meticulous about that. I even wrote everything down in the off season, not just for a contest. So I would get ready for these shows and I would write everything down. And that's where I got the idea for the book. I'm like, why don't I take all this information that I got written down? I'm not doing anything with it. I'll put it into a book and I'll show everybody what I did.
Yeah.
So that covers all the natural shows I did from 91 up until 98 when I won the natural Olympia. Hmm. And some of the shows, like you said, some of them I was off. Some didn't work. You know, sometimes I was flat. Sometimes I was too smooth. That was also the era when a lot of the supplements were coming out, you know.
Mm.
All the new supplements, like creatine, had just started like in 94.
Okay.
And all the different protein powders and the recovery stuff. And I used to read Chris Aceto a lot. He was, at the time, believe it or not, writing for Muscular Development magazine.
Yeah.
And he had an article out every month. And Chris was really good, you know. So I'd read his stuff and I'd try and learn all the new supplements. And I was experimenting with all these different supplements, and some of them worked, some of them didn't. But I really got a way to know my body, and I know what worked. Like, for example, for me, because I have a fast metabolism, there were some years, like I think after I won the Natural Universe in 92, I got a lot of magazine publicity because I went and called all the magazines, and I sent them all letters and stuff. So I think I was in like five different magazines, which was really a big deal because I wasn't involved with the MPC or the IFBB.
Huh, yeah.
So it was hard sometimes to make the magazines if you were in like a – I was in a small natural organization.
You were an outsider.
They weren't even being covered, you know, in the magazines.
You were like a total outsider is what it came down to.
What's that, Scott?
You were like a total outsider is what you were saying
to
what the popular thing was in the weeders and all that. You weren't part of that.
Right. But the funny thing was, when I got a lot of this publicity, I was getting calls from NPC promoters all over the country.
Huh.
Hey, you want to come and guest pose at my show? So I was doing a lot of guest posing, and I think it was 93 and 94. And then in 94, I went and did the first Team Universe, and I stayed lean the whole time. I didn't bulk up. I really didn't have an off season because I had to be in shape for these guest posings. And then I found when I did the show, I was flat because I tried to stay lean all the time. And then I realized that I need to have an off season. I need to bulk up.
Yeah.
I need to have like a good 6 to 8 months in the off season where I'm just eating a lot, eating good food, but eating a lot of good food and training really heavy and, you know, getting up to 230 or even 240 and then coming down to like 205. And for me, that worked. Some people don't believe in bulking up, but for my body with my metabolism, that worked for me because I always found that every time I did that and I dieted down, I was always, I looked bigger and I looked fuller. When I tried to stay lean all the time, then I was real flat.
I could see that.
For me, that worked.
I could see that. Yeah, I'll tell you, man, I've learned because I haven't, you know, and I was just talking on Blood, Sweat, and Gear this past episode that, you know, I haven't used any extra supplementation for the last 2 years. And I recently started again. But the point being is that, you know what, you really start to learn just how important the training is. And how you, there's no, I guess here's the way I put it. There's no cutting corners, is there?
Yeah.
When you're competing naturally, when you're trying to grow naturally. So to hone in on one specific area, if we were to talk training, what did you find worked best for you training style wise to be able to grow the muscle you needed to grow in the off season, that mass you're talking about?
Well, one of the things was you need the recuperation. So I always believed in old school basic training. I used a lot of the compound exercises, the basic movements. I always stayed with barbells and dumbbells. My repetition range was between 6 and 8, maybe 6 and 10.
Okay.
And that's, so I was training heavy. So I would do the most amount of weight I could for like 6 to 8 reps.
Okay.
And I believe that that kind of training is what builds bigger muscles. That's always worked for, I mean, you go back to Reg Park.
Yeah.
In the 1950s, it worked for him. Bill Pearl, Arnold, Sergio, Lee. Same thing. They all used the basic compound movements, heavy weights, 6 to 8 reps, 6 to 10 reps. That's what builds the muscle mass. And if you're a natural bodybuilder, you always got to be focused on building the muscle mass. And, you know, with the natural bodybuilding, if you look at a lot of them, I remember Bob Kennedy, the guy who used to own Muscle Mag International.
Yeah, yeah.
And, he told me once, you know, I was in his magazine quite a few times and we did an interview once and he said that a lot of natural bodybuilders looked stringy. They were ripped, but they looked like real flat, almost sick looking, you know, because they were so ripped, they lost a lot of their muscle.
Sure.
I was never interested in that look. I wanted to look like I even said in his magazine once, I want to be the Arnold Schwarzenegger of natural bodybuilding.
But you always did carry you always carried a very full look too.
Yeah, that's what he said. Yeah, he said the same thing. He said, I never looked stringy. And I think the reason for that was because I really focused on building muscle mass in the off season. And I would have those long off seasons that would last, you know, like 8 months. You know, I'd be like an 8 month period where I'm just eating a lot of food, eating 4,000 calories a day, eating a lot of carbs and training really heavy. I would always train about 4 days a week. That's it. I would rest 3 days.
Really?
So I, you know, yeah, I would train. Like if I did 2 heavy days of training, I would have to take the third day off.
And then how long
I
are these,
found that if I,
how long are the workouts lasting?
I tried to go like, what's that, Scott?
How long are the workouts lasting?
I would say an hour and a half, 2 hours.
Okay, so they were still longer workouts, even though you were.
Yeah.
So you were getting in there. You're training in that lower rep range. And how many sets were, say, let's talk chest, for instance, would you train chest for?
Chest would be like 10 or 12 sets. So I
okay.
would do like barbell bench presses, you know, a couple warm-up sets, and then three real sets. And then go to incline dumbbell presses. I'd already be warmed up from the bench, so I'd go scroll right to my heaviest set, do 3 real sets there, and then go into dumbbell flies, 3 sets there, and then maybe 2 sets of dumbbell pullovers.
Yeah.
So that's like 11 sets total. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. And would you do more than one body part then in a workout?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Absolutely. Because if I was only training 4 days a week, I would have to I'd have to do like 2 or 3 body parts in one workout. So I would do chest, triceps, and calves.
Okay.
The next day I'd do abs and legs. Then I would take a day off, and then I would come in and do shoulders, traps, and calves again.
Okay.
And then the next day, back and biceps, take another day or two off. Sometimes I'd go two on, one off, two on, one off, or two on, one off, two on, two off, you know. So I train each muscle group once every 6 days or once every 7 days. Okay. Nowadays, being in my 50s now, I train every muscle group once every 7 days.
Okay.
But I think back when I was in my 30s, it might have been like two on, one off, two on, one off.
Okay, let me ask you this then. How did you figure out that you needed that kind of recovery? Because I feel like there's a lot of people who are, you know, that they're doing a lot of volume. You know, I talk to a lot of my clients that, you know, when they start, they're like, oh, I really like to train 7 days a week. And it's like pulling teeth to get them to cut back to six. And then, and then eventually to five. And sometimes they get down to four. And I've seen people who, and I know, you know, obviously it's what you believe in too, that lower frequency, you know, maybe training four times a week sometimes. I think that could be really beneficial. It's hard to get there. So what should these guys be looking for that they may be able to start?
Muscle and
go ahead.
It's all about stimulating the muscle and then letting it grow. I mean, that's you have to follow that same philosophy when you're getting ready for a show, you know, because when you're getting ready for a show, the diet is what's going to get you ripped. And then you can throw in a little bit of cardio, but adding more workout days isn't going to help. That's just going to help you to lose muscle.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I guess I figured it out when I started training when I was 14. I was 135 pounds, so I was really skinny. So my goal, you know, from the very beginning was I had to get bigger. But I started competing at 16, and I got really teenage shows in a 3-year period.
You did
so
what?
I was really over competing. And I remember back when I was a teenager, I would train like 6 days a week for shows, you know. So
okay.
I was always not big enough. I always had to get bigger. And then once I turned 20 and I was no longer eligible to compete as a teenager, my next step was I was going to go into the open men's division. And I'm like, man, I'm not ready for this yet. I got to get a lot bigger. I got to build my body.
Yeah.
So it took me 2 years to go from my last teenage show to my first open men's show.
Yeah.
So I had to really go through a lot of bulking up. I think I was 175 for my last teenage contest. And then a year later when I was 20, I got to 205.
Yeah.
And then a year after that, I got to 230. So I bulked up to 230 before I went into my first open show. So, but the way I got up to 230 was – again, I cut back, focused all on the compound movements. Now, back then when I was 20, 21 years old, I was training each muscle group twice a week. So I would do a 2-day split.
Yeah.
I'd do chest, shoulders, triceps, and calves on Monday, Thursday.
Okay.
And then I would do abs, legs, back, and biceps on Tuesday, Friday. It was crazy. I was in the gym like 3 hours.
Okay.
But I was doing all these muscle groups, you know, in one workout and training every muscle group twice a week.
So how did you, what were the things that made you realize you needed to cut back then?
Well, I was reading all the magazines and that's what they said.
Oh, okay.
They said in order to grow, you know, you got to, in fact, I remember when I was a kid, I was training 6 days a week because that's what Arnold did.
And then
I did that for like a year. In fact, I think I was training like 6 days a week, twice a day.
Yeah. Oh, geez. Dude, I think we've all overtrained at some point. We can all blame Arnold to some extent because we read the workouts that he did.
But actually, I was reading Muscle Builder and some guy said, you know, I'm training 6 days a week. I'm trying to get bigger. And Arnold corrected him. He goes, no, if you're trying to get bigger, you should cut back your training to like 4 days a week.
Oh.
He goes, I only train 6 days a week when I'm getting ready for a contest.
Oh, okay.
I'm like, oh, I've been doing it wrong. So, yeah, I learned at a young age that you got to have the recuperation in order to grow. But I always knew that the heaviest weight you can use – I mean, think about it. If you're benching 200 pounds and you can do 6 reps, how much bigger is your chest and your shoulders and your arms going to be when you're benching 300 pounds for 6 reps?
Yeah, absolutely. Or,
you know, you're squatting – 500 pounds for 6 to 8 reps, how much bigger are your legs going to be than when you were squatting 300 or 400? You know what I mean? So the most weight you can move in good form for that 6 to 8 rep range, the most weight you can do, you know, you're not powerlifting. That's what's going to develop the muscle. That's going to get the muscle fibers bigger, and it's also going to pump in enough blood to create that growth in the muscle, and that's what's going to cause the muscles to get big. Like I said, look at all the big bodybuilders throughout the history of bodybuilding. All of them trained the same way.
Look
at Livroni. Look at Ronnie. I mean, all those guys trained super heavy with a lot of weight for the right amount of reps, using all the basic compound movements.
I could see that. Yeah, and I think of myself, you know, because I was guilty, just like a lot of people who maybe even are watching this now. I was guilty of doing far too much volume early on.
Yeah,
and honestly, man, you can band-aid you know, a week program with supplementation, you know, flat out. So I maybe didn't have to have the ideal training to continue to make some progress, but was it ideal? I don't think so. And if I could go back, man, I would definitely change it. There's no question, because now, having not been on the supplementation, I see a huge difference. You know, I see a huge difference training more in the style that you're talking about now here.
Yeah. I mean, even look at Dorian. Now, Dorian did low volume, but he was training very hard, heavy weights, compound movements, and that's the kind of training he did. Plus, he was using the supplementation. So what happened with him?
Right.
He got way bigger than everybody else. He shocked everybody at how big he was, because he was using the same supplements everybody else was using, but he was training much, much heavier.
Yeah.
Much harder.
So let's go to diet then. I mean, this is another area right now, because the way I see it, you know, like you said, it's there's no Band-Aid. And I feel like the same thing could be said with diet, that it's easy to kind of take a diet that's not necessarily perfect and still make it work, you know, if you drug it hard enough. And that's not going to say that, you know, you still have to work your ass off, you know. So I don't want to take anything away from anybody that is, you know, using gear, because if anything, I think that it gives you that opportunity to kind of even like push a little bit harder, a little bit more extreme, abuse yourself a little bit further and still be able to recover. But that doesn't mean that you necessarily should all the time, you know, especially all the time. Yeah. So nutrition is an area that I think you have to nail it. And, you know, the first thing we do is we just start throwing protein at ourselves. And then I think we start to evolve from there. How did your diet evolve, and how did you figure out what you needed as a natural guy?
Well, when I was younger, again, I had that fast metabolism, and my goal was to get bigger, and I did it all naturally. I didn't use the drugs to get big. So I had to learn how many calories I had to consume, and that's different for everybody. And it's going to be different when you're in your 20s compared to when you're in your 40s or 50s. And I work with a lot of older guys, too, helping them get ready for shows or helping them try to get ripped or get bigger. So it's always different. You got to figure out what works for everybody. Basically, when you get older, your metabolism is going to slow down, so you can't eat as many calories. But when I was younger, I had to eat up to like 4,000 calories a day in order to gain weight, because my metabolism was so fast.
You cut out on me a little bit. Did you say 4,000 calories?
Yeah, anywhere from 4,000 to 5,000, you know, when I was in my 20s. So what I found out was that your body can only handle so much protein. So it doesn't make sense to eat 400 grams of protein, because that's going to be used as waste. So I would take as much protein as I could eat, probably maybe 1.25 grams of protein for each pound of body weight.
Okay.
And then the rest of my calories, a lot of it was complex carbohydrates. So when I was trying to bulk up, I was eating like, my meals would consist of a protein source and then two sources of complex carbs.
Okay.
And that would be typical. So I was eating twice as many carbs as I was protein. So if I was eating 250 grams of protein, I was eating maybe 450 or 500 grams of carbs during the off season. And that's what I needed in order to bulk up. So you have to eat as many calories as possible in order for you to gain weight, in order to get something out of that. And, you know, it depends on your training too, Scott, because if your training is hard, you have to feed that training. Your nutrition should feed the training that you're doing. So if your training is easy, you're not going to need as many calories. You're not going to need as many carbs. But the way I looked at it when I was bulking up is I would eat a certain amount of calories, and then I was forced to go into the gym to really train heavy and train hard because I was eating all these calories. So the calories were fueling the workouts, but then I was sort of obligated to really train hard because I was eating all these calories.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense, man. So if I guess, you know, I'm looking for more advice here then. So if somebody's listening right now, They're trying to do what you're talking about. They're natural. They're training their ass off. How do they know if they need more food? You know, they may be packing it in, because I can tell it's not just because, you know, normal people, you can say like, well, I need to eat more food because I'm still hungry. But when we're bodybuilding, man, if you're doing it right, you're not that hungry, because you're already eating so much food. And sometimes it's a matter of getting more in on top of that. So how does somebody know if they're eating enough?
Well, basically, if you're making gains, you know, I mean, when I was When I was 20 years old, I went from 175 as a teenager, and I got up to 205.
Okay.
And I got up there pretty quickly because I think my body was so used to dieting all the time as a teenager, it was dying to grow.
Yeah.
So when I finally stopped dieting, it had this growth spurt. And within 6 months, I got up to over 200 pounds for the first time.
Okay.
And I thought, oh, man, I'm on my way. I'm going to be 230 in no time. Nope. I hit a sticking point, and I was stuck for like 8 months. I couldn't gain a pound. I was like 205. I could not gain a pound. I was eating a lot of food.
Yeah.
So I had to increase my food even more to finally start getting to 210, 215, 220, and finally I got up to 230. So that's what I'm saying. You got to adjust your diet compared to your metabolism, and everybody's metabolism is different. If you're a young guy and you got an ectomorphic body,
yeah,
and it might take a lot of food in order to gain that much weight. And like I said, I had to eat, I think it was like 450 grams of carbs a day. Or no, it was more than that. It was, I take that back. I think it was like at one point I was eating 600 grams of carbs a day.
That's a lot of carbs,
complex,
man.
Complex carbs. And like you said, that's a pain in the ass to eat all that.
Yeah.
Because it was all like brown rice, whole wheat bread, oatmeal. It was all good. I wasn't going to McDonald's. I wasn't eating out at restaurants at all.
Yeah.
It was all homemade food, you know. So it was a lot of food to eat. That's a lot of calories. But that's what it took in order for me to put on muscle and gain size and get stronger.
Did you think that it was important to keep those calories on the cleaner side? Had you ever experimented with going that opposite direction and eating junk food at all?
No, I was so, you know, I was so crazy into it. I never ate restaurant food at all, hardly, you know.
Okay.
So I would always fix my own food, and I just figured the better quality of the food, the better quality of the muscle. And I tell you, all those complex carbs, though, really increased my strength, and it really helped me train heavier, and that's what really helped change my body. So, you know, I get kind of pissed off when I see all these people say, there's no way you can get big naturally. Well, you got to push yourself. I mean, you got to really push your body. Your body can do a lot, especially when you're younger and your hormone levels are at your highest. You can do a lot naturally, you know. So I think people, they don't give themselves enough credit. They don't push themselves enough to really create their body. It took many, many years for me to do that, and it was a lot of hard work. I mean, we're talking a whole year of effort to get ready for one contest.
Yeah.
And it was a long off season, like an 8 or 9 month off season of eating that food every day and training heavy every week. And it just takes a lot in order to create your body. But if you push yourself like that, you can do it. You know, it's all the training and it's all the nutrition. It's not just the drugs.
How about supplementation then? That would be the kind of the third place that I would go. Was there anything that you found to be a game changer? I know you said creatine came out, you know, back in the day when you were working on everything. Was that a big supplement for you?
Yeah, when that came out, I think it came out in 94. I was really amazed when I was getting ready for a contest how much my strength stayed up.
Huh, yeah.
And, you know, being natural, you really notice that. You know, when you're natural, if you don't do anything right, if you miss something, you know, if you're not doing everything right, you'll notice a difference.
Absolutely.
And when I was dieting for shows, I would always notice a drop in strength. It was always hard to train heavy. And I would force myself to keep training heavy for a show. Even when I was dieting, you know, my body fat was getting lower. I just figured the heavy training is going to keep that muscle. But it was really a challenge. But I noticed when I did the creatine, man, it was like, man, my strength went right back up to the off-season strength. You know, I was training for a show, and I was doing stuff I was doing in the off-season. So that was a real game changer. The other thing I noticed, or the other supplement that was really important to me, was the post-workout meal. And Chris Aceto mentioned this too. A lot of people will have protein drinks after a workout, but you really need those carbohydrates because the carbohydrates are going to restore the glycogen that you're burning during your training.
Yeah.
So I would have the post-carbohydrate drink, which could be, you know, a ready-made drink, or you could take a powder like Vitargo or something like that. And I would mix that with a hydrolyzed whey protein because you figure when your insulin level goes up, you're going to shuttle those carbs into the muscle cells because the muscle cells are depleted of glycogen. So that those carbs are going to go right into the muscle cells because the muscle cells are starving for glycogen at the end of a workout because they're all depleted.
Sure.
So why not take in the hydrolyzed protein, which is very easy to digest, along with the easy to digest carbs, and then that also goes into your muscle cells. So now you're getting the amino acid uptake and you're getting the carbohydrates both into the muscle cells right after the workout. So that was really, really important, was that post-workout meal.
Yeah, I have to think, too, that, you know, you're getting a nice insulin spike from that. You know, too, I would believe that had to be some pretty advanced nutrition for the time. I mean, hydrolyzed whey, you can, sure, you can pick it up more easily today. But, you know, I'd have to think back then, it wasn't something you had to, what made you decide to go to hydrolyzed whey, and how did you find that? How'd you come across it?
I don't remember how I found it, but I think it was Chris Aceto again that wrote about that. And I actually did a guest posing once with Chris. Oh. His wife, Laura Crevel, at the time had just won the Arnold.
Oh, yeah.
I think it was called the Miss International. They called it the Miss International. That's when they only had men and women's bodybuilding. So this was like probably 94, I think.
Okay.
And we did a guest posing exhibition in Tennessee. So it was me and Laura, and Chris was there, of course, and then Chris Duffy, who had just turned pro a couple of years ago, is winning the heavyweights of the Nationals. He was there with his girlfriend. So it was like all of us hanging out for the weekend. So I was asking Chris a million questions about nutrition.
Yeah.
And I think he's the one who mentioned, you know, take that protein with the carbs, because like you said, the insulin spike, it shuttles those nutrients right into the muscle cells. So why not have the protein along with the carbs?
Now, would you use that type of a protocol in through your contest prep as well?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
I lowered my carbs, but they weren't low carbs. I would still eat enough carbs, because I found if I did lower my carbs, obviously I would get flat. So you had, like I said, when you're natural, you got to do everything right. You know, if you're doing the drugs, you can go real low calories, real low carbs, and the muscle will hold on, or the drugs will hold on to the muscle.
Sure.
But when you're not doing the drugs, you don't have that advantage. So you really have to really lose the weight slow. That was another thing, Scott. I would diet for like anywhere from, if I was bulked up, which normally I was, I would have a long off season, so I would be pretty bulked up. It might take me 16 or 20 weeks to get down, because I would have to lose the weight really slowly. You can't lose the weight fast when you're natural.
Yeah.
Because if you try to lose it fast, you're going to lose muscle. And if you read that book, Diary of a Natural Bodybuilder, there was a couple contests where I was running behind and I had increased my cardio, or I had to decrease my carbs. And then, of course, when I did that, I ended up flattening out and losing muscle.
And
so the only way to do it right is you got to do it really slow.
And at the time, if I recall, if I'm right about this, guys were doing diets that were much shorter traditionally. Like today, you see guys that are doing 16-week diets, 20-week diets. Mm-hmm. That's not crazy talk. But back then, I mean, I know that just 10 years ago, we were doing 12-week diets, you know?
Yeah.
And I think it was even shorter before that, wasn't it?
Yeah, I found that out the first natural show I did. I dieted, I think, 8 weeks.
Okay, yeah. And
as I was getting closer to the show, I'm like, man, I'm not going to make it. I'm off, you know? So then I had to, like, I think I was doubling my cardio. I was doing it in the morning and at night.
Yeah.
And then I had to cut back on my carbs, and I ended up being flat in the show. I was still pretty big. I think I was one of the biggest guys in the show, but I just didn't have that full look. And the guy who beat me used to be a middleweight. He went up to light heavyweight, so he was really full. He was bigger than ever. And I had a better structure than him, but he just peaked. You know, he was full and hard, and he looked good, where I looked flat and haggard. Like you could tell, I didn't prepare right.
Yeah.
So the next year, I did the same show a year later. This time I dieted 16 weeks. I doubled it, and I came in way better. I think I was almost, maybe I was like 2 or 3 pounds heavier. I wasn't like a lot bigger, but I looked totally different. I was full. I was tighter because I had kept that muscle tissue as I was dieting, and the muscles looked more fuller. And then I ended up getting more ripped, and I didn't have that flat look. That's the biggest thing when you're natural, is you want to avoid that flat look. You know,
sure.
You don't want to be too smooth, of course.
Right.
You want to be ripped. But you want to be ripped with the fullness. And I think in the natural bodybuilding world, at least, a lot of those guys, they come in shredded with the shredded glutes, but they look really emaciated.
Yeah.
And I didn't want that look. I wanted to look big and full.
Yeah, yeah. That sounds like a good plan. So to just kind of sum things up, you know, training-wise, you're talking big, basic movements. You're talking training with less frequency, a lot more rest. Nutrition-wise, you're talking about being able to do a solid long off season and being able to get the food up, being able to put the weight on, and not being afraid to see the scale go up and maybe getting a little bit softer in the process too.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. As long as you're, I mean, my waist would obviously go up, but my arms would also go up, my chest would go up, my legs would go up. So I knew I was adding muscle.
Yeah.
You know, that I, the weights were going up. I was training heavier. As long as the training is going good, it's okay to put on a little bit of fat. You can't get really, you can't put on a lot of muscle while you're staying really lean.
Yeah.
It's like going in two directions at the same time. You know, you can't do it. So you've got to put on a little bit of size. And I see this all the time with not just the natural guys, but anybody competing. You know, I'll go into the gym the day after a contest, and the guy who just competed last night is on the treadmill.
Yeah.
I'm like, what are you doing? You should be out eating breakfast. You shouldn't be eating, you know, being on the treadmill.
Right.
You got to take a break. You got to take a week off. You got to let your body recuperate. And then you got to use that off season to build muscle. You can't stay ripped all the time, especially if you're natural.
Yeah.
The only way you're going to build muscle is you've got to eat that food. And, you know, you were talking about the training. I mean, I believe in training with the basic compound movements. But when the contest came closer, I would still do those compound movements, but I would add like cable exercises, you know, to keep that tension on the muscle to try to get a little more striations. I would add in a little bit more isolation type movements. Like I remember I was doing this exercise. I think they have a bench for it now, but back when I was doing it, they didn't. I had to sort of create it in the gym where I would do like a barbell row laying on a bench.
Okay.
You know, like you're laying flat on a bench and holding it at top.
Huh.
And then I would get off and I would superset it with rear laterals, you know, bending over.
Yeah.
Because I'm trying to get those little muscles, the infraspinatus and the teres major and the rhomboids. I try to get those to stand out. So when I hit a rear double bicep, I just not only had the lats, but I also had those little cookie cutter muscles too.
Yeah.
And the only way you're going to do that is you got to do that isolation work before a contest. So I would add that stuff, you know, the last 12 weeks before the show, but I would still do the basic stuff. I would still do the basic compound movements and then add that at the end, you know, so the sets would go up a little bit more, but I'd still try to keep it reasonable so I wasn't overtraining.
Okay. And then nutrition. I mean, it sounds like a lot of the nutrition stuff, I was going to say supplementation. It sounds like a lot of the supplementation stuff is still related to nutrition. I mean, it, you know, outside of creatine, which I mean is kind of food related. I mean, you're talking about the things that you mentioned that seem to be the most helpful were carbohydrates, you know, carbohydrate supplements and protein supplements. Yeah. So it's not as if we're talking about some sort of, you know, crazy off the wall product that is going to revolutionize things. It's really, it comes down to just improving the nutrition.
Yeah, improving the nutrition. I mean, there's definitely some supplements that help, like branched chain aminos, nitric oxide, NO, that'll help you get a better pump.
Okay.
There's a lot of great supplements out there that'll help getting a better workout, getting a better pump, getting the recuperation. I think that's the main thing is with the supplements. If they can help enhance your recuperation, that's great. But yeah, it all starts with the diet. And I think anybody who knows anything about nutrition will say the same thing. I mean, the diet is the most important. And then as far as the calories go, that's all individual. I remember if I was eating 5,000 calories in the off season, that doesn't mean that I could get away with getting ripped at 4,000. I would still have to go down to, like, I think at the time I'd have to go down to 3,000 in order to get ripped, because that was the number I needed. So you got to find out what number you're at, you know, and that's all individual. It all depends. Are you male or female? Are you older? Are you younger? How much work are you doing? What kind of metabolism you have? How much muscle you have?
Yeah.
And so when I coach people and I design their diets, I always take all that into account. And we got to experiment a little bit with the diet to find out what works for them. And then once we find it out, it's easy to design it for the contest. And then once we find what that number is, it's just a matter of staying with that diet every week and then slowly losing that fat. And you got to give yourself enough time. And then if you give yourself enough time, you'll dial it in, lose all that fat, and hopefully be ready, you know, a week or 10 days before the show.
Right on, right on. So tell me a little bit about the seminar that you have coming up here again.
So yeah, this is going to be the first time I've done a 2-day seminar. I started doing seminars back in the 1980s when I won my first title, which was the Mr. Illinois. And, you know, those would be like an hour or 2-hour seminars.
Okay.
This time we're going to do a 2-day seminar, and it's going to start off in a classroom setting where I'm going to talk about everything related to muscle building, you know,
right, what
makes a muscle grow, like what we're just talking about. How to incorporate that into your workouts. And we're going to show you the best exercise to do. And we're going to talk about how to set goals and how to use your mind also to help create muscle mass and how to build muscle. We're going to talk about nutrition, of course, and how to design a diet. Another thing we're going to talk about is how to determine your genetics, how to take pictures and look at your body and determine what your genetics are and how you can assess your body and how you can make improvements with that. That was something I learned at a young age, and I think a lot of people don't look at that. and how to bring up weak body parts, all that stuff. So we're going to do that over a two-day period, and then we're going to have lunch after the seminar is over, and then we're going to go into the gym, and I'm going to show everybody how to do all the exercises. So we're going to have individual workstations set up. I'm going to go from station to station and show everybody, this is how you do a bent over barbell row, and this is how you do a squat, and this is the best way to do a leg press. And I'm going to take everybody through it, so they're going to get the hands-on experience of training. And we're going to do it over 2 days, like I said. So it's going to be a full day, a full weekend of training and instruction.
That's cool. So, yeah, and I feel like, there have been definitive moments in my training that have changed the way I think. And so I like the idea that you actually have the real, like the training element. This isn't just like a conversation you're having, because I feel like it helps. It helps to be able to be in there and to see it happen, you know, and then I can better apply things from there, you know, when I learn that way. That's cool, man. I look forward to this. Yeah. What's the dates on it again?
March 21st and 22nd. So if they go to johnhansonfitness.com, you can sign up there. And we got to limit it to only 15 people because, of course, with the training aspect of it, we can't have like 40 people in there. Otherwise, we'd never get – everybody won't get that individual attention. So we're going to limit it to 15 people so it's more doable, and we'll set up like three stations, and I'll just go from station to station and show everybody how to do each exercise. So it would really be beneficial to a lot of people. And like you know this too, Scott. I mean, sometimes when you're doing an exercise, just turning this way or doing it a little bit this way makes all the difference in the world.
Yeah.
And you can't learn that by reading a book or watching a video. You know, you really have to get that hands-on instruction. So that's why I'm excited about doing the training in the gym. And I'm also excited about having all this time where we can talk about all these different subjects in the classroom. It's not going to be like an hour seminar or 2 hour seminar where we're going to go over the basics. We'll really be able to go into in depth and really get it down. You know,
I like that. And I like to, cause I know that you've spent a long time, you know, thinking about this stuff, writing it down. You know, we've got, as I mentioned in the beginning, the Diary of a Natural Bodybuilder book. I mean, this whole thing is just a journal of your experiences in the foods that you ate, the training that you did, basically, you know, the formulas that you used, and then the result. And then you stepped back and you said, how can I change this formula? And over time, you've had a lifetime, obviously of experience now at this point with bodybuilding. Yeah. So I think that's pretty cool. Anybody who's a fan and a student of the sport like myself can definitely appreciate that.
And plus, it's in Tampa, Florida. You can't beat that. I mean, you know, you're in one of these winter states and you're freezing right now. I mean, Tampa in March is just beautiful because we don't have the humidity yet. You know,
okay.
It gets warmer in the summertime.
Yeah.
But March is just so gorgeous, like 85 sunny. So I hope everybody comes out, stays a few extra days, and goes to Clearwater Beach and enjoys the weather we got out here. You know.
It looks like you're out on the porch or something right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I did an interview with Palumbo a couple weeks ago, and I got all these comments like, God, what happened to Hanson? He looks terrible, you know.
That oh, God.
Lighting.
Okay.
You know, from now on, I'm doing everything outside.
Get the natural light in. Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't have that option. We're, you know, here in Detroit, you know, there's no doing an interview outside, especially in February.
What's the temperature out there, Scott?
Oh, terrible. I don't know. It's terrible. We're expecting snow tonight, a bunch of snow. So there's that. Well, guys, I highly suggest, you know, especially if you're already down in the Florida area, this would be a great way to spend a couple of days, hang out with Mr. Natural Olympia, John Hansen, check out everything that he has to teach, and, you know, continue learning, because that's what this thing's all about, right?
That's right. You got it, Scott.
All right, guys.
Thanks, buddy.
For another episode of Think Big Bodybuilding Media and Advices Radio, we've got Mr. Natural Olympia, John Hansen. We'll see you guys soon. Thanks, John.
Thank you, Scott. I appreciate it.